Greetings, all you 99%ers. This is your host, Dr. Jack Rasmus, the show Alternative Visions. Okay, today, a very contemporary, important event going on we're going to talk about with a couple guests here, and that's the Climate March, the People's Climate March in New York City that's going to occur tomorrow, Sunday, on the 21st. And there are corresponding demonstrations and events occurring around the country, including on the West Coast. And my guests will be those involved with organizing on the West Coast, and I'll introduce them shortly here. Why is this important? Because it's one of the most important issues in front of us today. And it's also important because it is a movement. And as you know, on this show, we like to talk to people who are in grassroots movements, give them the alternative voice that they are often denied on mainstream media here, which is the function of our show, thus Alternative Visions, the vision of the environmental climate justice movement, we might call it. Okay, once again, it's coming up here tomorrow. Those of you who are listening in New York, make sure you get your butt down there and participate. It doesn't take much just to put yourself in the middle of a march. But everyone should be doing something and hang around, too, and find out what other people are doing. And that includes, perhaps, I understand that there will be a, after the march and the event on Sunday, there will be some direct action events taking place on Wall Street on Monday and even Tuesday. And then there will be other attempts to form broader coalitions with others beyond the climate justice movement as well, including labor and so forth. And maybe our guests, who I know are labor folks, can also talk about that. Maybe something on the West Coast is going on. Let me start by saying a poll this year by Gallup, one of the premier voting or polling statistical organizations, Gallup poll, found out that 65% of the American population supports some kind of action to do something about climate change. Okay, it's been a little bit of a myth that the American people don't care about climate issues. They do. 65% of them, and this is a cross-section of folks in the country, an official scientific poll, will support some kind of emissions controls, control emissions, greenhouse gas emissions, CO2 and SO2 and all the other O2s and methane. Methane, of course, new source that's coming on is from all this gas fracking. Yeah. Natural gas reduces CO2, but it may be releasing more methane, which is 10 times worse than CO2. Okay, so we're going to have a movement event here on Sunday, and hopefully it can evolve into a movement of movements, which is really what must happen. We got to get beyond this bane of single-issue politics in this country. We're all dividing and conquering ourselves. So corporate America doesn't even need to do it. We've got to unite not only within the environmental movement, which is fragmented in all kinds of directions, but we've got to unite folks in the movement with folks outside the movement, with labor, with ethnic communities who are really those who oftentimes are the hurt the most from environmental issues, and students and others. We got to come together in what used to be called the United Front. Right? You keep your organizations separate, if you like, but at least unify in common actions where you can agree. And until we do that, there will be no effective movement politics in this country. We got to stop, you know, running around our own single marginal issues and put them all together. And then when we have a movement of movements, maybe then we can take the next step, and that is from the grassroots up, call a conference, a convention, and make a challenge then to form political organization. Because nothing's going to happen until you challenge the institutions of power. You know, one of the problems with Occupy was it felt it didn't have to challenge, that it could just take a moral stance and say, this is what should be done. And that somehow it would be done. And we don't want to get into party politics, and we don't want to corrupt ourselves with leaders and so on and so forth. Well, sorry, folks, there is no shortcut. That's the only way you're going to challenge the institutions of power that corporate America holds on to and is strangling in the name of its own interest. Well, okay, you know, I've been talking about that this theme for some time here. But first, we got to build a movement, and a movement of movements, as they say. And my two guests here today, Michael Rubin and Glenn. Glenn, I'm sorry, what's your last name here?
Turner.
Turner, Glenn Turner. My apologies. I've only had half a cup of coffee so far. will be my guests, and we're going to talk about organizing on the West Coast here. Unfortunately, I couldn't get folks on the East Coast. They're all involved in the activities going on right there. And but we'll talk about their with their counterparts on the West Coast here, Michael and Glenn, and what's going to happen on the West Coast. And I'm sure, since you're involved organizing on the West Coast, you're knowledgeable of what's going on the East Coast. And we can talk about that in relationship to the West Coast as well. But I want you to talk about not only what's going on, who's participating, what the events are going to be, you know, the practical stuff. But I want you to talk about, you know, this broader question. How do we bring people together within the climate movement, environmental movement, and then how do we... how do we broaden beyond that and link up with others and create a movement of movements? Because, you know, it's all affected by the same thing. You know, the fact that we can't get decent jobs, people are getting low-quality, low-paid jobs, and to the extent they're getting jobs, part-time temp jobs and so forth, you know. We got this joke called the Obamacare. Latest information was, so 7 million people have signed up for Obamacare. Whoopee, we only got 43 million to go who are still uninsured. And I'm following the data on this thing, and I get all kinds of signals here, warnings that these premiums that people signed up for that got sucked into a lost leader kind of thing are going to jump by double digits here when they renew. Just as I've been predicting, the problem with ACA is it doesn't solve the health care cost crisis. And it's just another attempt to privatize health care in this country and move everybody to trying to solve their problem by themselves and not collectively when it comes to health care coverage. Well, okay, I'm not going to go off on that one. But, you know, we got all kinds of problems out there, not only jobs and not only benefits, housing and students being indentured with these huge loans and that they can't pay off because they've been, you know, pretty much indebted for life. I know, I got relatives who were in that boat. And all kinds of issues here. Constant war. It seems to be, you know, the neocons captured the State House or the State Department ever since George W., and it hasn't changed, and they keep provoking wars everywhere, whether it's in the Ukraine or now they're going to go into the back door of Syria, just what they wanted, you know, everywhere. So things are a mess in this country. I mean, a total mess. I've never seen it such a mess. And unfortunately, unlike years past, we are more disorganized than ever among the people to resist this. Anyway, let's move on. Let my guests have a chance to talk here. Michael Rubin, Michael, I know you're involved with the West Coast organizing here, and I know you've been a longtime unionist.
Yes.
And, you know, can give us your take on the significance of this event. Is it just another march and protest, and everyone will go home and nothing will change? Is something different going to change? What's going on the West Coast? And answer that question.
Well, what's going on the West Coast is a sort of inspiration from New York. I mean, we decided that since most people from the West Coast are not going to New York, that we ought to do something in our own area. And this was an initiative of a group called System Change, Not Climate Change, which is trying to build a more radical wing of the environmental movement, trying to become a recognized tendency within the environmental movement of more radical people, I would say. And we took the initiative in our area, and it's really taken off. I mean, we've been able to build a successful coalition with all kinds of environmentalists of different political views. We have gotten involved. We have built a coalition including the Sierra Club and 350.org, whom are not noticeably radical organizations. And we're hoping that this will be a harbinger of things to come.
So what's being planned here in California? What's the event, and what do you hope coming out of it? What are the demands of the event?
Well, basically, we've agreed to the New York demands. I mean,
okay.
And the demands on our literature for the Northern California event are for a world with an economy that works for people and the planet, for a world safe from the ravages of climate change, for a world with good jobs, clean air and water, peace and justice and healthy communities. That's what's on our literature.
Okay. How do we achieve that? What happens? What are we going to do after this Sunday event, in your opinion, to achieve those honorable goals?
Well, I think that we probably have to take it in steps. As I say, I've been involved in the building of this group, System Change, Not Climate Change. I want to build a sort of radical tendency within the environmental movement, win people over to the fact that we need a much more radical change and a much more broadly based change than we've talked about in the past within the environmental movement to achieve our goals. And so that process will continue after Sunday.
Well, how is this group System Change and that climate change different from, say, 350.org or whatever?
Well, it starts with the name. That is, mm-hmm. we believe that in order to make progress in the environmental front, we are going to have a much more thoroughgoing and radical change than people have talked about in the past. And our task is to win people in the environmental movement to that perspective.
How more radical? What do you mean by more radical change? What does that translate into?
Well, I think that even within System Change, not Climate Change, there's probably not unanimity on this question. I'm a socialist. I've been a socialist since the 1960s. I continue to be a socialist, and I continue to talk about socialism. However, other people within this group probably do not agree with me on this question.
Does that mean we're not going to get anything fundamentally done until we have a socialist economic system? Is that the conclusion?
I would say that we're not going to get anything done until we have a much more powerful radical movement. I mean, we may be able to wring out some concessions before the revolution on the environment as well as other things, but until we are able to build something that's much more powerful than we have today, I mean, I do not believe that we will wring out much from the system as it is.
Mm. Well, the demands that you indicated a second ago are kind of, I mean, who could be against cleaner air, cleaner water? But what are the demands laid upon the system? I mean, more specifically, I mean, are you saying that we need to accelerate renewables by 2020? Or, I mean, is there something more specific, or is it just kind of we need better air, better water, hurrah?
Well, the demands that I read to you are the demands of the coalition that's putting together the September 21st rally in Oakland, California.
It is not the
program of system change, not climate change.
Okay. And those demands are the same as in New York City.
Yes.
Well, it sounds more like not demands. It sounds more like grand objectives,
right,
that we'd like to have. And that kind of raises a critique I've had of the environmental movement up to this date, recent environmental movement, that, if you want change, you got to say exactly what it is you want. If you're not clear on what you want, then the powers that be will say, what do you guys want? Well, if you don't know what you want, I'm going to tell me what you want. I'm going to make up your demands, and they're going to be demands that, I can really deal with, that I don't really have to make much effort on, that don't really challenge me. This is one of the problems of, I see it, my views, of some grassroots movements, that, they're not tough enough on what they want. They're not clear enough on what they want. And until you have that clarity, you're going to get manipulated. I don't know. What's your feeling on that?
Well, my feeling is that this is going to go in stages, essentially. Right now, we're trying to start a movement. As the movement matures and as the movement grows, I mean, this is the beginning of a conversation, not the end of a conversation. This is going to be a somewhat protracted process, in my opinion.
Okay. Yes, I understand there's several organizations, not just yours, System Change, not Climate Change, but we all know 350.org, and I understand Global Climate Convergence is another organization. The New York wing of that and others are involved in organizing this. Can you give us a sense of what the coalition is that's organizing this?
Just in our area, we're up to nearly 100 organizations, and in New York, I'm sure it's much more. We've made inroads in a number of different movements, and especially the labor movement. I think the last figure I heard, there were 20 labor endorsements for the New York march on Sunday.
Well, that's new. That's new. I mean, all we hear in the media is how construction unions are want the XL pipeline, and you don't hear much else about any other union kind of support, but I guess that's a good first step. There are a number of unions and organizations that are supporting this in New York. Now, if we can only get everybody under the same tent and moving in the same direction with some clear objectives, that would certainly be a step forward. Yeah. Glenn, what's your take on all of this?
Well, I'm actually a member of several of the organizations involved just because I like people. And I'm a member of System Change, not Climate Change, but I'm as well a member of Sunflower Alliance and Bay Area 350. The Bay Area 350 is not quite the same quiet group that you would expect from the rest of the country, perhaps. And Sunflower Alliance and 350 Bay Area have been working together quite well, it seems like. The Sunflower Alliance, to be specific, has a very, very specific demands, if you will. That group is focused mostly in Richmond, where the Chevron company, and we all know that climate is affected by the transportation, the use of gasoline, all the cars, all the trucks, and so on. And one of the things that's a big focus is on the transportation of crude oil by rail going through many, many cities like Davis, Sacramento, to the refineries here in the Bay Area. And these have been called bomb trains because the cars are so antiquated that even Canada won't allow them in their country. So these are very, very specific demands, and there's been a summer action along the railroad line for the small towns in the Bay Area, the North Bay, that are being, extremely affected. In fact, even right now today, every day, a 100-car train filled with crude oil in every single one of those 100 cars is going into Richmond.
Every day, a 100-car train moving into the refinery in Richmond, which, for listeners, is a city here in the San Francisco Bay Area that has refineries. 100 cars a day, wow, going into Richmond, loading up 100 cars of oil.
This is just the beginning. That's nothing. Mm. They're expecting to bring in, there's like half a dozen refineries in that North Bay area, in Richmond. Besides Kinder Morgan, there's Chevron, Valero. I forget the names of the others right now. But the thing is that these towns are getting very, very concerned because these trains have blown up. Accidents happen. The railroad system isn't exactly brand sparkling new. The infrastructure isn't even that good. Some of the railroad workers are being concerned that the trains companies want to have single drivers, just one person at the wheel. And if that person nods off, then accidents like the one on the East Coast, Canada area, can happen and people will die.
Yes, wasn't there some major crisis, wasn't it? In Canada, was it, where the trains blew up right in town?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Well, what do you say, though, Glenn, to folks to say, well, look, you know, those refineries have been in Richmond for decades, and, these trains have been coming in for decades, and nothing's happened.
But the trains haven't been coming in at 100 cars.
Okay.
Plus, if you multiply that 600, so if you had six trains coming in each day to each refinery, one, that would be 600 cars coming in every day. It's way more. What they're trying to do is to have an XL pipeline, only because of the nature of the mountains here, from where the oil is in North Dakota, they need to go by train.
I see. So a lot of this oil is coming in from all the fracking going on in the North Plains area of the country. Dakota and so forth? Is that why there's
exactly
so much more?
And the thing with crude oil is it's full of very propane and other incredibly inflammable materials. So this isn't business as usual. This is business cranked up tenfold.
I see. Well, what's the specific demand? Don't let these trains come in or replace, better inspect and replace these cars?
Stop the trains.
Stop the trains to begin with, huh?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's going to be overruled, but certainly if people don't step up and speak out, nothing will happen.
No one will even know the dimensions of the possible risk, I guess, right?
So we're talking specifics, and I know you've been talking about movement building, and it happens that my particular job in the coalition for this Sunday is to organize and keep track of all the various groups who have literature tables that are coming.
Mm-hmm.
And we initially thought, well, maybe 10, 15 tables. Well, we're up to over 30 tables of literature. These are the groups that are bringing tables. This is not to speak of, say, individuals from Greenpeace will be there helping with the bee swarm table. And so we have all kinds of local groups who are like Transition, Berkeley, well, they don't have a table, but some of the local climate movement things that are going on very quietly, where people are going for urban gardens and urban farms. We have groups that are interested in Food and Water Watch and Factory Farming Awareness Coalition. So we have coalitions coming to have tables, and we're a coalition. So we're a coalition of coalitions and alliances. And I've been incredibly excited that some of the longtime activists I've been working with, the sort of direct action type folks, they're pretty surprised to see how big this rally is. They'd prefer to do some banners hanging over overpasses, which is great that, you know, we're all working together on this. But I'm so impressed that we are working together. And there are some differences, but, you know, diversity is our strength. We don't have to have one single thing. Every single group will work on a different facet of the problem.
Well, I agree that's a strength, diversity and numbers and so forth. But strengths can be your weakness, too, and that is, it's great to have that diversity if you can also come together on important areas of mutual agreement and do something about it, you know, action. I mean, we're past the point of just talking about this problem and a lot of other problems in this country, and people need to get off their butt and do something, whatever it is, do something, and if it doesn't work, do something else, but do something. Tell us more about the event in Oakland, where people can go, and the event and what will happen during the, you know, the 2 or 3 hours or whatever the event is scheduled for. Tell us some logistics here, so our listeners.
The event is scheduled to be from 2 until 5. That'll be just after the New York event has probably finished. And we're hoping to get a connection, a live feed, to get a report from New York to our stage. We're hoping our technical department can handle it. But we have some really fine speakers and also musical groups, Acapella, Boots Riley of the Coop, Jevon Cochran, performers. We've got a whole list of speakers. They're not going to be long speeches, but it'll be a beautiful sight there at the new amphitheater at the south end of Lake Merritt near the county courthouse and the old Kaiser Convention Center.
Okay, so that's 2 o'clock for folks on the West who want to go to that. Now, is Oakland the only place on the West Coast where things are happening? Are there similar supportive events occurring on the West Coast, Michael, or anybody know?
I do know. I know that there's an event in Los Angeles. It's a different, has a somewhat different character. What they're doing in Los Angeles, from what I understand, is they're going to be lining up on along Wilshire Boulevard. Different groups are taking different blocks of Wilshire Boulevard with signs and it's a sort of placard bannering kind of thing, placard bannering or bannering thing along Wilshire Boulevard. And I believe that there's also things also being planned in Seattle and Portland, although I wouldn't swear to that. I'm not sure of the details.
Okay. So multiple events occurring different places around the country.
There are demonstrations on September 21st around the world at this point, across
Europe.
Okay.
It's a worldwide event then.
Absolutely.
That's what we're talking
point.
About.
Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah, and listeners should understand that this is coming at a time where there are going to be efforts among the politicians in Washington to prepare, as I understand, some sort of summit in a week or so to prepare for the U.S. for the position it will take in next spring in Paris, where we have the latest United Nations Paris event on climate change, where maybe folks will move towards a treaty on what needs to be done for reducing emissions globally as well.
Well,
so this demonstration is not just out of the blue, all these events are designed to send a message to the politicians that, you know, we better do something about this.
Well,
you know, as I said, my only critique is that I wish the message were more crisp. But, you know, with all the organizations, until you have some sort of unification, it's hard to agree on what the crisper message should be. So the organizational question precedes the question of demands and strategy, and can't be separated from it. So, no, that's just a point I would make. Glenn, you have anything to add to that?
Well, there, on this coming Tuesday, the 23rd, the UN will actually be having meetings about climate as the whole focus of that day. And my understanding, though I'm not entirely sure, is that Obama will be making a statement at the UN about the United States' position on this. This is in preparation to set an agenda for next year in Paris. But nonetheless, this is an important point. People are finally beginning to say, yes, there is a problem.
And so Obama's going to the UN and will say something on this climate issue here coming up fairly soon.
That is
soon.
My understanding.
Yes, right.
Someone else may speak for
right. Okay. Yeah, folks should understand as well that the EPA is attempting, although it is being maneuvered, to do something about emissions with industrial plants. But that initiative has responded from the big corporate America, you know, a very aggressive response. They're trying to prevent industrial emissions controls that the EPA has issued well over a year ago, and of course that's a very important contribution to reducing U.S. emissions. U.S. and China are responsible for over half of the world's emissions. Okay, so if the U.S. and China got its act together, we'd be well on the way to doing something about the problem. But that's a big issue, obviously. Okay, so what is as far as you know, going to come out of this Sunday event, or if not, what would you like to see the follow-up to be here on the West Coast, at least, or on the East Coast as well? What should be done following this? You know, the worst thing to do is to call a meeting, and then everyone feels good and leaves the meeting, and no one knows what's coming next and what should be done next. You know, and this is kind of like a big meeting, isn't it? A big outdoor meeting.
Indeed.
Well, I think what is going to happen, or has happened, is that we now have email addresses and personal contacts with dozens of groups who have both endorsed and will be having tables and speakers at this event, so that now there's actually the infrastructure network of communication, so that when the next event happens, and it will surely happen, a refinery like Chevron will blow up, or something will happen that will engage the attention of people, just like this UN meeting, then we'll have the infrastructure to pull something together even bigger. We were very modest in our goals with this, and I think we've exceeded those goals extremely well. And I will be prepared to be unified and have something like the march on the Port of Oakland. Some of the Occupy movement were doing things and putting out calls. We know people know that the capitalist system and the banks are a big part of the problem. And I think, you know, we'll just be prepared now that we have the communication network.
Well, why shouldn't these groups call, after this event, call a convention or a conference of themselves and attempt to address, more specific demands and a looser but further form of collective organizational effort, in other words, a small step, but
nonetheless? No, I think you've hit the nail on the head. That's exactly I'm pretty sure from just listening to the 350 people that I've been working with who are very effective, organized people, in the Bay Area anyway, a conference, a convention, there's been lots of little conferences and conventions, and they tend to not get much attention, but if we pulled off something big, yeah, that could be the next step very easily.
Yeah, it doesn't have to occur even nationally. You could have, regional, California, the environmental groups and allies, labor and others, come together and agree on the list of demands that they could agree on. You know, don't have to agree on everything, just agree on what you can agree on and come up with some ongoing form of organization instead of, ad hoc like on Sunday, these events that occur ad hoc, and then you got a list of emails, and then when something else, like you say, an oil spill occurs, then we call another event, send the emails out, and we're just responding constantly to the problem instead of getting ahead of the curve and organizing against it. I think you need organization of some kind, and you need a program of some kind.
Are you talking about the Green Party then?
No, I'm not talking about any particular party. I think that what you need is for the movement to get together and to clarify itself and its demands and start some kind of mutual organization amongst the groups that they can express themselves as a collective instead of all of them individually expressing themselves. You don't have to give up your organization. You just form a kind of umbrella organization that unites all of you, and you agree and work on things that you can agree on in a united sense and go do your own thing on individually at the same time. But until you do that, it's everybody scurrying in all these different directions with all their separate organizations and all their little single demands for this or that, all of which are great and fine. But there's no unity there.
Well,
and you just can't respond
just
and have these events occur and response events.
Bit, it will happen. I'll prophesize 1 year.
Okay.
In 1 year, when the Paris thing is happening, within that time, we will have something will have happened with this network.
Well, it better be more than sooner than 1 year, because Paris is in the spring, I think, isn't it? April? Yes. Okay. Well, that's a good thought. Okay, hold it, Michael. What's your thought about this unity of groups necessary on more than an ad hoc basis with a more clarity of demands? What's your view on that?
Well, my view is that what we need is not even the clarity on politics or organizational matters, but rather what I'd like to see is us come up with a plan of action. In other words, instead of just planning one event, we actually have a plan of action for 6 months or a year. We should start on something for the spring for Paris. But even before that, I mean, what I'd like to see is an ongoing campaign that people would sign on to of action, to lift our visibility.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a great idea. Maybe that you can get the rest of the environmental groups, or some of them at least, in the San Francisco Bay Area to link up with the progressive folks trying to maintain some control over the city of Richmond, which has been the case for the last several years. You know, people got together, ethnic communities, black community, and others to try to take back the city. I think environmentalists were involved with that, Greens were involved with that, and so forth. But now they're under direct attack by Exxon, who's pumping lots of money and buying candidates to run against the Richmond folks here so that they could have a free hand once again running that city, which which they have for quite some time. Excuse me, Chevron, not Exxon.
Chevron is putting in $1 million into this election, at least.
Yeah, well, why don't these other groups go in to Richmond and help win that election?
They are. I mean,
good.
Maybe, yeah.
Many of the more progressive environmentalists have been involved in the canvasses for the Richmond Progressive Alliance candidates. I mean, that's already happening.
Well, that's great to hear. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. Maybe out of that can come some event. The Richmond folks can take their experience and expertise and help run some other environmental candidates elsewhere in other cities in the Bay Area. You know?
Yeah. Well, Richmond's green mayor timed out, and so now she's running for the council. And certainly, Sunflower Alliance meets in the same building as the Richmond Progressive Alliance, and has been much involved with that. And certainly, after this rally, people will be going out and looking for those.
Correct me, Glenn. Sunflower's main focus right now is about all these oil tanker cars coming in.
The thing about Sunflower Alliance is that it has many focuses, and one of them is certainly to keep Chevron from, buying, their own hand-picked candidates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fighting Chevron is a good fight.
How about system change, not climate change, Michael? What are its immediate couple focus events?
Well, I think that remains to be determined, but I would say that on a more general level, as I tried to indicate, I think what we want to do is to build a recognizable, more radical, tendency within the environmental movement, and then from there to win other environmental activists to a more radical view of what needs to happen in order to win.
But you got to be doing something to attract people to that vision, don't you? You just can't say let's do this, let's all engage in a more radical position without saying, well, what is it we're going to do that will be more radical?
Well, I think you're right, but I think that system change, not climate change, is a year old, so
this
is going to be a process internally as well.
Okay. All right. We'll give you 3 more months. How's that? Now, I know in New York, as I think you mentioned, Michael, that we have a significant number of union groups that are jumping in and allied and help building this event. I believe there's organizations called Labor Network for Sustainability,
mm-hmm.
And then Trade Unions for Energy Democracy. These are groups that I know of that are involved in New York. What's the picture here with this coming Sunday event in Oakland in terms of labor support?
Well, I forgot to mention the fact, a very important thing, both the Alameda County, which is the county in which Oakland resides, and the San Francisco Labor Council have endorsed the event here on Sunday.
So two of the biggest labor councils have endorsed the event.
That's correct.
Okay, well, that's good. Are they going to send any forces and troops out to participate?
That remains to be seen.
Okay.
Well, one of our speakers is Clarence Thomas from the ILWU.
That's the Longshore Workers Union, the port workers, yes, okay. Okay, yeah, I know of Clarence. He's a good firebrand.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's certainly a first step in that direction.
Oh, and
what are the unions beside the port workers are supporting this? Do you know individual unions that we might point out are more progressive on this environmental issue here?
I believe that the Oakland Education Association has endorsed the rally here.
The teachers.
The teachers,
yeah.
In Oakland,
and,
right.
And one of the speakers is from the California Nurses Association.
Oh, the nurses, yeah, they're a good group.
And I'm not sure, but I have a... No, there's a lot of support in 1021, which is the service employees local, but the mechanism for endorsement did not work. But there's a lot of support for the action within the service employees. 1021, which represents municipal, special district, and school employees.
Public employees.
Yeah, right.
Various kinds. Yes,
right.
Okay. That's a pretty big local, too, isn't it? I mean,
it is.
There's like tens of thousands of people in that local.
It is.
Okay. All right. So hopefully
we're making progress.
Yeah, okay. What other community organizations are participating in this outside of unions, outside of environmental groups?
Well, I've got a list here of our speakers. I Don't Know More is a very grassroots group, specifically Native American focus with that one. And then we have Communities for a Better Environment, which is out of Richmond. Andre Soto has a KPFA show, which a couple of us spoke on yesterday. We have Asian Pacific Environmental Network, a speaker from them. Let's see, Filipino American Coalition for Environmental Sustainability. We have a speaker from that group. The high school, Green Action for Health and Environmental Justice.
Good. We got some students involved here, organization. I think that's an area that the environmental movement needs to focus more on in terms of organizing.
Yeah, one of our tables, I believe, is going to be a Stanford student group, and we're offering them, free tables.
How about the high schools? Any attempt to get
group.
The high school students out here and support this? After all, this environmental crisis is going to affect their lives more than ours.
We have two high school speakers on the program.
Are going to be speaking.
Good. We've got some high school participants here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that sounds like a rounded organization event.
Interfaith Power and Light Group, Reverend Ambrose Carroll. I'm not familiar with him. But.
Okay, yeah. I mean, the religious community is very important. I mean, we saw how important they were in the civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm. Well, they haven't gotten on board fully yet, but I expect they'll be the next group area that will start coming in.
Okay. Well, all right. So sounds like we got a good start here for this event on the 21st on Sunday. What's the discussion, thoughts, thinking about what to do after the meeting? Michael, anybody throwing those ideas around yet?
We are going to have an evaluation meeting after the 21st, to, among other things, to discuss what we did right and wrong about the 21st, but also to talk about the future. I think a lot of what happens will depend on how successful we are on the 21st. If we have a really big crowd, I think people will be energized to begin thinking in a more long-term manner of continuing to work together. If not, then the opposite will happen.
Well, let me go out on a limb. I think this thing is going to be bigger than people think, both in New York and out here. I think people are not only concerned about the issue itself increasing. As I said at the beginning of the show, 65% of American people support, and the Gallup polls support, doing something about emissions reduction. But I also have a sense that people are so frustrated with so many issues that this may be a vehicle for some to express that frustration. You know, if I can draw an analogy, there was just this vote in Scotland, right? Well, what does Scotland have to do with this? Well, let me explain. In Scotland yesterday had this vote for independence from the rest of the United Kingdom, which is really run by the moneybag bankers down in London, right? And 45% of the people said they wanted to go separate. Well, you know, people aren't aware that why did the Scots want to go separate here? It has something to do with the way they've been treated in the last 10 years in terms of, the economy and the crisis and so forth. It's not by accident that the big votes for separation came from very working class sectors like Glasgow, mm-hmm. right? The more middle class and upper class and rural sectors voted to stay with the UK. They got, they were intimidated by all the effects, particularly business folks, thought that they wouldn't be able to use the pound, the British pound, as money. But the point I'm making is, this movement for separation in Scotland really, really came out of the housing sector with all the deficit cutting going on in the UK and eliminating housing subsidies for folks as part of the austerity and program of reducing spending, social spending. So, you know, a lot of it gets expressed in a nationalist sense in Scotland in that separation movement and elsewhere in Europe going on, Spain, so forth. But there's an economic thing behind it. People get frustrated, and the political parties are not answering their needs. The political parties are, you know, really all lockstep together, getting all the money from the big corporate donors and the billionaires, and the politicians, only care about their reelection, and they tell us a lot of lies of things they're going to do, and then they do things for their corporate donors. And there's a big problem with the party system in this country. Well, it's a single-party system with
exactly.
Two wings, right? It's not parties anymore. You can't tell Tweedledum from Tweedledee, except what, the only difference is in the lies that they tell us to get elected. There's frustration out there. A lot of people are frustrated. All the polls continue to show the American, vast majority of American people don't believe this recession is over because they don't see any real economic results. Of course, businesses and corporations and investors, it was over for them 4 years ago in 2010, and they've gone on to record income gains, but the rest of us are still struggling, and all we're getting is part-time temp contract jobs right. And a big bill to sign up for Obamacare and more debt for students. That's the recovery for the rest of us here. So I'm hopeful that, maybe it will be more expression here by more different people coming out. And I think certainly in New York, I don't know about out here, people may be surprised at the size and the effort here. But we need to get more students involved, you know? I mean, both high school and college students, I don't see yet big contingents coming from the colleges. Michael, what do you think of that?
Well, I think that we're making inroads. The way I look at it is we're at the start of a process, and we have a ways to go. I mean, there are a number of things that need to happen, and whether the thing will stall or succeed, I can't say, but we're going to give it our best shot.
Okay. Well, Glenn, what are your comments along those lines? Want to throw an opinion
in? Actually, I've been impressed by the number of young people brought in by the Sierra Club local, and they've been pretty active in, say, canvassing West Oakland, where eventually the crude oil trains may be going through. We've been seeing them at some of the meetings, at our planning meetings. So I think there's students there that with Sierra Club and with, say, Stanford obviously has a climate action group of some sort. I think it's just a matter of time. This is school year has just started, and this may well be something that will get their attention. And
mm-hmm,
it's possible
mm-hmm.
we may need to do something more in, say, the fall if the economy goes south and there's big problems on Wall Street.
Well, certainly, next spring before the Paris meeting, it's important, I would think. And this is a great event to start organizing for something there. And the question is, what do you do? You mentioned Stanford University students. I would just refer listeners to a new report from Stanford University that explains specifically, and this is the kind of, very hard analysis we need, explains specifically how we can get to a 100% carbon-free environment by 2050. In other words, there are ways of doing it, and Stanford University has you know, a group there has released a report on how to do that. So folks should go Google that, look for that. All right. And also I would refer folks to go to the Albert Einstein Institute, which has, you know, an environmental effort underway, which lists 200 nonviolent tactics that can be employed. So arm yourself with the information and of how we can have a different future, a different world here. We don't have to live with the emissions problem. Also learn how to act. Not just organizationally, but, you know, Albert Einstein Institute, 200 different nonviolent tactics. Take a look at that. Google that, too, folks. Anyway, I'd like to thank you all, both, for coming on and giving us a picture of not just what's going on the West Coast, but, you know, thinking within the environmental movement of what to do next, where to go next, and you know, some healthy suggestions and ideas. If you two are representative, I think, of the movement and the different groups, I think, you know, the future looks brighter. Anyway, thank you both, Glenn Turner and Michael Rubin, for joining me here today to talk about the environmental movement, where it's at, and this event coming up Sunday, and I'll be watching closely to see what you all do in the wake of it. And hopefully you will take it to another level here, both in terms of demands and organization and strategy and so forth, because we really need to step it up if we're going to have any effect on what's going on. And we are at a strategic, important juncture here with this UN event coming up. Certainly. Okay, this is Alternative Visions, Jack Rasmus, your host, and next week we will be back with another set of guests and another alternative movement from the grassroots.
Walk the streets a-screaming now.